By the Tao of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Welcome to Reorient Nation, a joint production of Paradosis Pavilion and Generative Sounds. This program seeks the intersection where East meets West meets East. Your host, Father Simeon Keyes, is an Eastern Orthodox priest who brings together East Asian culture and the Eastern Orthodox way of life for the benefit of our lives here in the West. Reorient Nation is about heading toward the East, toward the sunrise, the direction of renewal and growth. Now with today's episode, here is Father Simeon.
Today, I'm going to read a poem by the great Chinese poet Li Bai, who lived AD 701 to 762. In a previous episode of this podcast, I read another poem, The Summit Temple, by the same poet. The poem I'm going to read in this episode is entitled The Old Dust. It is translated by Shigeyoshi Obata. The Old Dust. The living is a passing traveler. The dead, a man come home. One brief journey betwixt heaven and earth. Then alas, we are the same old dust of 10,000 ages. The rabbit in the moon pounds the medicine in vain. Fu Song, the tree of immortality, has crumbled to kindling wood. Man dies. His white bones are dumb without a word. When the green pines feel the coming of the spring, looking back, I sigh. Looking before, I sigh again. What is there to prize in the life's vaporous glory? There you are, the old dust. Physical death, the finality of mortality in this life, is shared by humans across generations. It's part of our experience. When our loved ones leave us, we miss them, we mourn. Maybe we even become more aware of our own mortality and the reality that we are on the same path. They just finished ahead of us, but we're heading in the same direction, toward the time when our mortal bodies that have been working since birth, our mortal bodies stop. One is born, lives, and dies. If you look at an individual life in the broad sweep of human history, we are all here a short time. Does that sound depressing? The life of an individual in this world, as it is, begins somewhere and ends. There is an end. Yet there is hope. And I don't mean by hope a restarting of mortality in a reincarnational cyclical prison, but hope that after the end of this mortal life, we can transcend mortality, entering into immortality of soul and body. The book of Genesis is a spiritual text that reveals who we are as human beings, our potential, our diagnosis with regard to why we aren't living according to our potential. God is life himself, and we are created to experience fully God's life-giving presence. The story of paradise in the book of Genesis is about how we were set on the path to be like God and fulfill our destiny to fully show ourselves as being made according to the divine image. But we humans, our first ancestors, chose another path, disobedience to heaven. That path did not lead to knowing the fullness of life and divine glory by experience. but rather their eyes were open to know instead death by experience. Instead of ascending to be godlike, they descended to becoming more like the lower animals. We have inherited that death from our first ancestors. Death has two dimensions. The physical dimension, which refers to our bodily mortality. We can experience sickness, and eventually the body dies. But the other dimension of death is spiritual death. That is death in the soul, caused by a disconnection from the source of life. Death is really an absence of life. The source of life, life himself, is God, the uncreated creator of heaven and earth. In Genesis, in the Greek translation, Adam is told that if he eats from a certain tree, that he will die by death. Adam and Eve experienced death in the soul immediately, and eventually, after a while, experienced death in the body too. God exiled Adam and Eve from paradise so that they would not eat from the tree of life and live forever, because God didn't want them to live forever in a mortal state afflicted by the disease of spiritual death. Remember that perpetual mortality is not the same as immortality. The uncreated one had created Adam from the dust, and when Adam and Eve died, their souls separated from their bodies, their physical bodies returned to the dust. As descendants of Adam and Eve, we have inherited this death. Death in the soul and death in the body. We are all mortal. For those of us who are Eastern Orthodox Christians, one natural response to encountering physical death is to mourn. We mourn when someone dies. Death is unnatural for us. At least it's unnatural for our intended state. We miss those who are gone now. It is sad to see a body that is meant to be raised in glory to immortality without a soul and inclining toward decomposition. We see both mourning and hopeful joy regarding death in the life of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus traveled to the town of Bethany and stood outside the tomb of his friend Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days. Lazarus' sister reminded him that the body of Lazarus would be stinking by now, even though Christ, as the Creator God, possessed the power to heal and to raise Lazarus from the dead, as he did. Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus stood outside the tomb and cried, according to his human nature, as a man facing the death of his friend. It's among the shortest verses in the Bible. Jesus wept. Christ also said to Lazarus' sister, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Our funeral service reminds us, as Orthodox Christians, that physical death isn't the end of the story. When Christ returns in glory, the dead will be raised. Yet the funeral service also reflects the truth that the body decomposes and the bones of the rich and the powerful look the same as the poor and the needy. All is dust, all is ashes, all is shadows. But this is important. We do not mourn as those who have no hope. Where is the hope? Well, when God exiled Adam and Eve from paradise, the story doesn't end. The history in the Old Testament into the New Testament is all about what God is going to do about the problem of death. About 2,000 years ago, 700 years before the birth of Levi, in Palestine, in the little town of Bethlehem, in the ancestral town of King David, a child is born named Jesus. This is Christmas. As the Apostle John wrote, the one who is with God, the Son of the Father, and who is God without beginning, without any change to who he is as the uncreated God in whom all creation is contained. He made a human body and soul in the womb of the Virgin Mother. She became a new Eve who brought forth a new Adam, who would open the gates of paradise again. The one who is born is life himself. And the angels were amazed to see the creator and sustainer of all things lying in a feeding trough, a manger in a cave in Bethlehem. Why did God become a human being? To die, in order to destroy death. Now, over 500 years before Christ was born, an ancient prophet, the prophet Ezekiel, foretold what God was going to do. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me round among them, and behold, there were very many upon the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And as I looked, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you home into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, says the Lord. In due time, Jesus the Christ did what he came to do. He willingly ascended a wooden cross. The religious leaders instigated his crucifixion, and the Romans carried it out. But he came for this purpose. On the cross, in his humanity, he died. But as God, life himself, he cannot die. While his body rested in a tomb, in soul he descended into the realm of the dead, where the souls of those who had died resided, and he destroyed the power of death. Hades, death, took what seemed to be just a man. It had taken so many of them. But this time it came face to face with God himself, who by his death on the cross destroyed death. After 3 days, Christ rose from the grave. He didn't just return to mortality as he had returned his friend Lazarus to mortality, but he raised up our human nature to immortality, an immortal physical body that is spiritual, untouchable by death. That is the immortal body. In this passage about the dry bones in Ezekiel, Israel refers to the church, to the Orthodox Church that Christ founded, as the fulfillment of Israel, including first those descendants of ancient Israelites who recognized their God when he came to them, and also the people of all nations who recognized the God of Israel as the one true living God and the Messiah of Israel, who is the Savior of the world. He saves us from death of the soul of body. The celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Pascha, which is called Easter by Western Christians, is the central worship event of the entire year. It is the celebration of hope. It is the celebration of triumph over death and the power of the cross to transform death to life, shame to glory, and sadness to joy. So how does the ancient Orthodox Church express what Christ, fully God and fully man, accomplished through his cross, burial, and resurrection? Let's see what the text of the hymns and the prayers of the services of the church say. Verily, Hades ruled the race of man, but not forever, for thou, Almighty One, when thou hast placed in the grave, didst demolish the locks of death, and with the palm of thy hand, O element of life, proclaiming to those sitting yonder from the ages a true salvation, having become, O Savior, the firstborn of the dead. That's from the sixth ode of Orthros on Holy Saturday, the Lamentation Service. Today hath Hades cried, crying, it were better for me that I had not received the begotten of Mary. For when he approached me, he loosed my power and crushed my gates of brass, arousing the souls which I had possessed, he being God. Wherefore, glory to thy crucifixion and to thy resurrection, O Lord. That's from the Vesper Divine Liturgy on Holy Saturday. Today hath Hades sighed, crying, my power has vanished, because I received a dead man as one of the dead, but could not hold him completely. Rather, I lost with him those who were under my reign. From the beginning of time, I have held control over the dead, but this one raised all. Wherefore, glory be to thy crucifixion and to thy resurrection, O Lord. That's from the Vesper Liturgy on Holy Saturday. Add to these verses the words here taken from the Paschal Sermon of St. John Chrysostom, who served as the Archbishop of Constantinople in the 4th century. He that was taken by death has annihilated it. He descended into Hades and took Hades captive. He embittered it when it tasted of his flesh. And anticipating this, Isaiah exclaimed, Hades was embittered when it encountered thee in the lower regions. It took a body and face to face met God. It took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw but crumbled before what it had not seen. O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, where is thy victory? Christ is risen and you are overthrown. Christ is risen and the demons are fallen. Christ is risen and the angels rejoice. Christ is risen and life reigns. At the conclusion of time, when Christ returns, we will all be physically raised with a resurrected body that is physical and spiritual. But whether we experience eternal life in the heavenly kingdom or we forever experience hell, the second death, separation from God forever, that is our choice. Each of us makes that choice. Again, because of his love for us, God has accomplished everything necessary for us to reach our potential and purpose and to live with him forever in the kingdom. We make that choice. And that choice we make actually every day by determining how we're going to live. Are we going to follow Christ or not? This is why Christ has planted his church, the ancient Orthodox Church, the original church on the earth, so that we can heal from death and be free from evil by his power. Adam and Eve were exiles from paradise, but Christ has reopened paradise. He made his cross the tree of life and planted it in his church for our salvation so that we can be saved from death. Li Bai referred to the Fool Song Tree and the Jade Rabbit, a rabbit sometimes imaged as making the medicine of immortality and the moon with a mortar and pestle. But Chinese mythology aside, the true tree of immortality is very much alive. And the tree is ever life-giving. And the real medicine of immortality is available, all of this within the church, which is the hospital of the immortal physician. The old dust presents us with the sense of the relative briefness of life and the inevitability of death for us mortals. Physical death is a part of our experience as human beings. Losing people we love, or even hearing about the death of others, that can make us so sad. And we mourn those who are gone and we miss their presence in our lives. We can't return to normal, but in the absence of our loved ones, we find a new normal without their familiar presence in our lives. This is one aspect of our life, the weightiness of death, but there is that other aspect made possible by Jesus Christ, that opportunity, that hope, if we choose to follow the deathless King who destroyed death. for comfort, for hope, for anticipation, and as children of the resurrection and the eternal kingdom.
Thank you for listening. If this podcast has been edifying for you, please subscribe and share this program. Also, please consider the entire Paradosis Pavilion catalog, as well as the music of Generative Sounds. Please contact us if you are interested in providing us with feedback or engaging us in conversation, which we would welcome. In the beginning was the Tao, and the Tao was with God, and the Tao was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Tao became flesh, and dwelt among us.